the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's Lifetime Planning.
I'm Chris Prytower, and you know, with slower economic growth, both here and abroad, declining interest rates, falling LEIs, you're hearing more talk about an approaching recession. In fact, several large economies from Germany to Japan are experiencing contracting economic growth. This week, the ISM manufacturing report contracted for the first time since August of 2016, with factory orders, unemployment, and production all declining. The index fell from 51.2 to 49.1 in August, and I should mention that readings below 50 indicate a contracting manufacturing sector. So with slowing economic growth, falling economic indicators, and falling interest rates, along with central banks across the globe cutting interest rates, talks of recession abound. If there is a chance of recession, there's also a high probability of a bear market. So how do you survive another downturn in the markets and the economy? You've already seen falling interest rates. In fact, it looks like another rate cut's coming this month. And by the way, long-term bond yields are almost as low as they were in summer of 2016. There's even talk this time that they'll go below 1%. How will you navigate and survive a possible recession and another bear market? That is the subject of today's show.
Chris, why don't we look at the numbers first? The U.S. economy is definitely slowed down, and that's why you're hearing more and more talk about a recession. I mean, we've gone from 3% growth rate last year, 3% in the first quarter, to the most recent print we had on GDP, which is about 2%. Now, but if you look at the economy, those areas affected by interest rates, such as housing, autos, they remain weak. But here's the good news. Consumer confidence and retail sales still remain strong, and business investment remains weak, but that is due to all this trade uncertainty. So there doesn't appear to be any excesses in the economy or in the markets or housing, for example, in the last recession. And typically, when you head into a recession, they've all been preceded by major Fed rate hikes, and there's been a bubble somewhere. Think of tech stocks at the end of the 90s, housing in the last decade. We just don't see that. Right now, banks are better capitalized, and only if there is a financial risk out there, it seems to be in the corporate bond market, which you have about 50% of all bonds are rated BBB, and a third of all bonds are in the junk bond category. But here's the good news. The new budget deal increases government spending, so we are getting additional fiscal stimulus this year and next year because the budget deal that they put together was for a two-year period. And we have the Fed cutting interest rates. You mentioned it's most likely this month they will cut again after their July cut. But basically, the only risk out there right now is the trade war, which impacts more of the global economy than it does the U.S., as foreign economies are more dependent on exports. So, Chris, if there is a recession and bear market, it's most likely will be a mild one.
What would you say then, based on that, what are the risks here for investors, Jim?
I mean, Chris, if we see a recession, it'll probably be accompanied by a bear market, where you could see stocks lose maybe 20, 30% of their value. Interest rates could fall below 1%. I mean, they're not far from that now. We got on the day we're doing this program, we got down to about 1.4% on the 10-year note. And more importantly, if they do head down to 1%, they could remain there for a long time. Think back of what happened in 2008 when the interest rate on the Fed funds rate was a zero. And basically, they kept them there at zero for 7 years. It wasn't until 2015 when they finally raised interest rates for the first time. Now, the major risk is what happens, in my opinion, with the outcome of the 2020 elections, where it's looking like capitalism versus socialism. The market and the economy would not do well under a socialist regime. That could possibly turn a mild recession and bear market into a major recession and bear market as the government tries to take over the economy with regulations and high taxes. Putting that aside, if we do see a recession, all other things remaining the same, it should be a mild one, as there really are no real excesses right now outside maybe the corporate bond market and index funds. The only real issue is shrinking liquidity and algo trading, which could magnify any downside to the markets, making losses more severe.
So, Jim, assuming that you're correct, that if a recession occurs, it'll be a mild one with a mild bear market, how should investors prepare and ride out a storm? I mean, it may not be a Category 5, but even a Category 2 or 3 can do real damage to someone's portfolio depending on how one is invested.
You know, the real key here is how are you positioned? I mentioned this may be a mild recession and bear market, but if you're in index funds or high-valued, let's say, momentum stocks, similar to the FANG stocks, or maybe your bond fund is junk bonds or triple B, the damage might be a lot more. This time, you really, at this point right now, you really want to own quality. Have some cash and start positioning for lower long-term yields. The real risk coming out of the next downturn for investors is that interest rates will remain suppressed for a long time to come, very similar to what we saw happen after the Great Recession. The real risk here for investors, pension funds, insurance companies is if ultra-low interest rates remain for an extended period of time. I mean, think about it. Retirees relying on income from their investments to live on, pension funds that target a 7% return in order to meet their pension obligations, insurance companies need yields to match their liabilities. So the real risk going forward of a recession or no recession is that yields fall to zero and possibly go negative as they are in Europe and Japan. You know, when you look at it, we're really living in an historical era of low interest rates, something we have not seen in 5,000 years of human history.
Well, what would you say then, Jim, if someone wants to survive and even prosper in a recession? I mean, if a recession bear market does lie ahead of us, what specifically should investors be doing?
You know, Chris, I want to say it's how you're positioned, and there are a number of factors. I mean, you don't want to market time. I have never yet a market timing service or seen it where they can time the markets perfectly. In other words, get out at the top and get out at the bottom. But the first thing you want to do is take stock of how you're invested. What do you own? How much do you have, for example, in stocks? Do you own high-risk stocks or index funds? What is your age? Are you dependent on your investments for your living expenses? Now, let me put this out. If you're young and you've got many more years ahead of you, you're contributing to a pension plan, quite honestly, I wouldn't do much. I would stay invested in stocks or stock funds, because as you put those contributions every month that comes out of your paycheck, if the market goes down, you're going to be buying your mutual funds or index funds at cheaper prices. And really, all you care about 10, 20, 30 years from now when you retire is how many shares you own. So you're not going to be thinking about what happened today 10 years from now or 20 years from now. So the real key area is if you are nearing retirement or dependent on investments for income, you probably need a whole different strategy. For example, if you own bond funds, you really need to look at the quality and the maturity of what we call duration of the funds you own. In other words, you really at this point want to hope that your bond funds have longer maturities, meaning that they don't have to worry about bonds coming due and investing those bonds at lower interest rates. So you want to be what we call long duration. Now, if possible, depending on your advisor, you may want to switch to individual bonds and lock in maturities so you know what your income will be and it's not going to go down when interest rates continue to fall. For example, we like individual bonds and preferred stocks at this point because, number one, the yields are higher. Number two, there are tax advantages of owning preferred stocks. And I can't overemphasize the importance of locking in your yields now if you're dependent on interest to live on. You're not going to be able to survive and thrive if interest rates go down to 1% or zero if you need income. Another thing you might want to consider, if you're struggling to stay even in terms of meeting, let's say, your living expenses, if you're retired, you may want to consider an immediate annuity now before rates head lower, because here's what an immediate annuity does. It is going to give you a guaranteed payment for the rest of your life or that of your spouse. Part of that payment is your principal, and some of it is interest. Now, the lower interest rates go, the lower those annuity payments are going to be. So, and likewise, if you're invested in CDs, lengthen your maturities to get a higher interest rate. What you're really trying to do here is lock in rates now before they head to zero. Now, we personally have been using individual corporate bonds where, you know, we've been fortunate enough to lock on yields ranging from 4 to 6%. Those kind of bond returns are only going to get harder going forward as rates head to zero.
What about the stock market itself? On the weekend program, many of the technicians, including yourself, Jim, they've pointed out that the leading sectors of the market have been utilities, consumer staples, and REITs, sectors that are all known for not only being conservative, but also offering higher yields than the general market and government bonds.
You know, Chris, for our listeners, it's probably going to sound counterintuitive, but one of the best investment and income opportunities lie within the stock market with individual stocks. I mean, we're looking at blue chip stocks that have been beaten up by as much as 20, 25% because of, let's say, they missed their earnings, a drop in volume of sales, or, you know, maybe a bad product launch, and the market just trashes these stocks. The good news is as the stock price heads lower, the dividend yield goes up because the dividend doesn't change. It just changes in terms of what you're going to pay to get that dividend. So some of the best yields you can find right now are in the stock market in beaten down sectors from energy, healthcare, financials, technology, industrials. I mean, we're looking to find yields in the 4 to 5% range with companies who have increased their dividends every single year. So we not only hope to get, let's say, 4 or 5% in dividend yields, which, by the way, are taxed at 0, 15% to 20%, depending on your tax bracket, but also those dividends go up every year, which is what you really want. Now, if you're living off your investment income, you need something like this to provide you with an increasing income as rates head to zero. In today's market, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to buy high-quality blue-chip stocks with a history of increasing dividends and, more importantly, getting yields anywhere from 3.5% to 5% or even more. I know in my own personal case, my minimum threshold for buying right now is a 4% dividend yield and a 5% to 6% annual dividend increase each year. So really what I'm looking for is a 10% annual total dividend return, which consists both of yield and dividend increases of 10% a year.
Did you know that municipal bonds can provide you with a predictable source of income that is free from both federal and state income taxes? If you're in a high tax bracket, municipal bonds could be the right investment choice for you. If you have more than $500,000 to invest, our portfolio managers can create a municipal bond portfolio designed to align with your financial goals. Contact Financial Sense Wealth Management at 888-486-3939 now and add tax-free bonds to your portfolio. That's 888-486-3939 or email us at grow@financialsense.com. Advisory services offered through Financial Sense Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Financial Sense Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Both companies doing business as Financial Sense Wealth Management.
You know, it seems kind of strange, though, to be talking about individual stock yields with, you know, 4 to 5%. And a possible recession and bear market. I mean, what about the risk of those companies during a market downturn?
You know, I believe these kind of companies are probably going to hold up much better in a market downturn, and especially if we get interest rates heading down to zero. Now, many of these companies have gone through some kind of a major correction. You know, they either miss their earnings, they miss their sales. And, you know, Chris, I'm just one of those, I don't know, call me cheap, but I hate to buy and chase stock prices. So I like to identify companies I want to own, then wait patiently for them to fall in my buy zone, which is a 4 to 5% dividend yield. And as I mentioned, I look for a total dividend return of 10% a year. That's in dividends and dividend increases. And I'm also looking for a high and rising dividend stream of income. Now, even though the company's stock price may fluctuate, the dividends remain steady, and the companies I own have a long history of increasing their dividends every year, and I own them for income in addition to long-term capital gains.
Well, Jim, the title of this particular podcast is How to Survive a Recession and Bear Market, but I think this is a good time to ask, what are the general things that you look for when you're looking at investing in a particular stock?
You know, I have 5 business criteria that I use and 7 when it comes to picking dividend stocks. So, you know, it's a combination of both the fundamentals of the company itself and then also particular characteristics I want in a stock that I'm buying for dividends.
Would you mind, Jim, sharing some of the specifics with our listeners? Because I think that just given your history and being known for, would you mind sharing some of that criteria with our listeners?
You know, some of this applies. I don't care if you're buying stocks for dividends or just buying a good company. One of these things, and let me just share with you, one of the things that I like to look at when I'm looking and evaluating a company. Number one, is it profitable? You do not want to, and especially if you're nearing retirement, getting close to it, or let's say you are retired, you want to buy a company that's making money. And you can see that. You can, you know, see it in the annual report. You can see it online, Yahoo Finance, or even in Valueline. For example, a very popular stock out there is Tesla. They lose money every single year. And I'm talking about tens of billions of dollars. Number two, is the company adaptable? And especially in today's fast technology-driven market. I mean, think of Nokia. At one time, they dominated cell phones, but they thought of cell phones as just phones. And then what happened? Along came BlackBerry, and all of a sudden, phones became emails and internet, and then came the smartphone with Apple. Or, for example, take a look at Walmart, how Walmart was able to adapt to take on Amazon. So you want a company that is adaptable. Three, loyalty or brand name. You really want a company that has established itself as loyal customers. Think of Starbucks. Think of Apple. Think of Coke. So you know that, for example, that you know people buy Coke all over. They don't care much about the price. They buy it for what they like. People go out and they buy Apple products because they're loyal to Apple because they feel they get a good product and they get good service. Number four, does the company have a moat that protects it from other intruders or competitors coming in, driving down prices and eroding profit margins? It's one of the big things that Warren Buffett is known for. I mean, think of companies that have a protective moat. Think of Microsoft when it comes to software running your PC. Think of Exxon when it comes to oil. Not too many companies have the heft and the financial wherewithal to survive downturns in the, let's say, the commodity prices. Exxon is one of them. Think of Coke, or even in the retail space, think of companies like Costco, Target, and as I mentioned, Walmart. And five, sensible. Can I buy this particular company at a reasonable price? So, Chris, those are some of the things I just look at overall when I'm first looking at a company. Now, I don't buy stocks unless they pay a dividend. So when it comes to dividends, I have 7 criteria. Number one, right now, my screening is I'm looking for a 3.5% to 5% dividend yield. Number two, I want a 5 to 10 year dividend history of dividend increases. And as I mentioned, I look for a 10% dividend return each year. And that's a combination of dividend and dividend increases. Number three, I look for a payout, depending on the industry, that is no more than 50 to 60% of earnings. You don't want to be invested in a company when they're paying out almost 100% of their profits, because how are they going to, you know, where's the safety? Where's the money that's going to be needed for maintenance, repairs, or even advancing and expanding? Number four, earnings. Are they making enough money to pay the dividend? Number five, debt ratios. I don't like to see a company that is indebted more than 50% of their capital structure. And the next two are really important for dividends. Free cash flow, that's the money that's available after all expenditures, capital expenditures, dividends are paid out. And return on equity, that tells you how well the company is managed. And usually on return on equity, I look for a minimum of 15%. So, you know, I mentioned a couple things out there, but this isn't rocket science. and has more to do, I would say, with common sense. You don't need to be a Wall Street analyst or a CFA to master these concepts. The stock market has returned over 10% over the last 100 years, with half of that return coming from dividends. And that's why I make dividends a preference on anything I buy. My personal opinion, the only reason you want to own a stock is for a dividend and rising dividends over time. It's no different, Chris, than investing in, let's say, a rental property. Why are you investing in real estate? You're investing in it for income. I mean, you hope it appreciates, but rental properties and commercial properties are evaluated by the income they produce.
That criteria you mentioned, Jim, is really, really important, but sometimes there are things that obviously can affect that. I mean, if there is a bear market and a lot of people have their finger on the pulse trying to determine if we're about to enter one, how does that criteria change if there is a severe correction or if there is a bear market?
Remember, we're talking about surviving a bear market and recession when it looks like rates are heading below 1% or zero, or could actually be negative depending on central bank policy. I mean, if you invest in bonds in Europe right now, you actually pay. You get no return. You lose money every year. The nice thing about dividends is if you have an actual cash return, you're getting something to hold the stock, so you're not just depending on, for example, rising stock prices. If, let's say, for example, you're invested in an index fund. And I always tell the story about Coca-Cola and Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett held on to his Coca-Cola during the entire financial downturn between 2007 and 2009. Now, Coca-Cola stock went down over 30%, but Coca-Cola's dividends during that period of time went up by 24%. You know, people have this misperception that if stocks go down, the dividend goes down. Now, that may be true if you own a stock mutual fund. It's not true if you own a good dividend-paying stock. In the next decade, and this is why I think this is going to be important, is the next decade is all going to be about financial suppression and modern monetary theory, and you're hearing it from both sides. All we need to do is spend money and just simply print the money to pay for everything we're spending on. That is going to be in an inflationary environment, or at least more inflationary than where we are right now. In order to survive and thrive in a low interest rate environment, you're going to need something that yields money and a return to you that's higher than what you can get just sitting in cash. Or, for example, the day you and I are doing this interview, Chris, you know, 10-year treasuries are down to 1.4%. I have a portion, this is just what I'm doing personally, of my portfolio. I call my bond stocks. These are blue chip companies that pay high dividends. They increase each year. The yield on these stocks range between 4 and 5%. So they're my equivalent of what I call a bond proxy. And these are the kind of things that I want for income. That's sort of like the bond portion. The rest of my stock portfolio are dividends paying stocks that range from anywhere from 2 to 3.5% and increase their dividends over 10% a year. So I don't want to buy a stock unless it pays a dividend and has a history of increasing those dividends over time. Now, if you want to survive the next decade, you're going to need a source of rising income. And I can't think of a better way than dividends or, let's say, a good investment property with rising rents. But I prefer blue chip stocks because of their liquidity. The final thing I want to mention here is you should own some gold as a hedge and insurance in case things go haywire. I mean, I can't sit here. We've been talking about most likely if we have a recession and bear market, it'll probably be a mild one. But there are many factors out there that can change it. For example, the lack of liquidity, algo trading. I mean, who knows what can appear on the horizon that neither of us here today can think of or can see. So we are now in a global currency war. Central banks are slashing interest rates in an attempt to drive down currencies. With interest rates negative on a third of sovereign debt and heading to zero, this is an environment where gold thrives.
Well, let's go ahead and sum this up. Here's what you would need to do to prepare for a possible recession and bear market. The first thing, understand the risk of what you own, whether it's stocks, bonds, make sure you know what you own and the related risks. Number two, lengthen maturities on bonds or CDs to prepare for lower rates ahead. And third, look at immediate annuities if you're falling short on income. Number four, look at owning high-yield, dividend-paying stocks for income that is above bond rates and the market. And number five, keep cash reserves for emergencies and buying opportunities. Number six, keep a small portion of gold as a hedge. And finally, number seven, consider an advisor like one of our advisors here at Financial Sense if you don't feel quite comfortable doing this yourself. Also, when it comes to owning stocks, remember that all investment assets like stocks, bonds, currencies, commodities, prices fluctuate. So even though we've been talking about a recession and a bear market, I want to close with a comment from a legendary technician. And Jim interviewed this technician on the weekend program last week, but this particular clip is from something he said over a year ago on the program ahead of the big downturn last year.
I got to tell you something very personal. My lovely wife, Rosemary, was a financial advisor. And her whole thing was retirement. I mean, Rosemary retired several years ago due to illness. If not, she'd still be doing it because she loved it. And her clients called and called me and said, oh, my God, we're going to miss Rosemary. She's been so great to us. What she did is she tied everybody up, including us, in these high-yielding situations. And I remember in 2007, 2008, when that market started rolling over, I went down to Rosemary and I said, honey, I think we got to start selling this stuff. She said, please, we're in there for the long term. You told me that same story, Ralph, in 2000. And we went down with the market and went up with the market. If you're in those high yielding stocks, as you said, Coca-Cola or telephone, I don't know. We have more. And we just ride them out. And, you know, it kills me as a technician. You know, I see these breakdowns and tops and, you know, I'm looking, running for the hills. And her argument is, you know, you got to time it correctly getting out, and then you got to time it correctly getting in, and then you're paying taxes on your profits. And, you know, from a long-term investment point of view, people, you know, in their 60s and 70s, I'm 77 years old, and now we don't mess with anything. Oh, we have a few dollars. We'll play around with some crazy stuff. But by and large, the majority of our money is exactly what you described. And I'm saying this to everyone. This is personally what we've done. And thank God Rosemary was adamant about it and didn't listen to me turning the account. So I'm, you know, lucky enough to be able to buy the family farm. And if not, I think I'd be a cow on the farm.
Now, on tomorrow's Lifetime Planning program, we have Carolyn Rosenblatt, the founder of AgingParents.com. Carolyn has approximately three decades of experience as a lawyer representing injured persons. And on tomorrow's program, she'll be speaking on the very important topic of elder abuse.
In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.